Right now it is time for Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Werpman. Judy joins us on a Thursday morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio. Judy is the co-author of The Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com. Another book, Before Her Voice Was Still, A Friendship in the Shadow of ALS, and her book about her journey into being a duck midwife. Journal of a Duck Midwife. Ladies and gentlemen, the multi-talented, multimedia Dr. Judy Werpman. Good morning.
You eliminated dog walker, but that's okay.
we need to switch it up a little bit.
Actually, the reason I said that is that what I'd like to talk about today is something that's been bothering me for a very long time, and that is, how do you get people who absolutely refuse to do any kind of physical activity to do some? And the reason I say this is that, so all you have to do is go to the internet or go to any kind of media and look up exercise and whether it's important to do it or not. And, you know, the answer is a no-brainer, as they say. Of course, you should be exercising. Of course, you should be moving, increasing your muscle mass by doing special exercises called resistance training. You should be increasing your cardiovascular output by walking, biking, running, jogging, you know, going uphill really quickly so that your heart has to work harder, and you have to get used to bringing more oxygen into your body. You know, all those good things. And you can go on and on about the benefits to your mental state, your emotional state, your longevity, whether you might develop neurological diseases. The list is endless. The problem is that you can look at the list and you can look at all the benefits, and there are many people who espouse those and will go through their week, you know, exercising as frequently as they can. And then there are others to whom the idea of exercise is about a feeling as eating a bucket of worms. And when you try to get them to understand the importance of it, the answer is total resistance. They're not interested. They're not going to do it. They don't have the time. They don't have the energy. They don't have the money, whatever. The excuses are gigantic, but the way in to convince people not to do the excuses and to actually start exercising is very, very narrow. And it occurred to me, Jill, that one of the things I think that's missing is this. If you were sitting down trying to tell somebody how to eat better, you would spend a lot of time talking about food choices and food preparation and going to the supermarket and what you should eat and what you should ignore and trying to get that person to see how his or her lifestyle could be altered to lead to better food intake. But very few people actually sit down with somebody who is an exercise avoider and does the same kind of in-depth analysis of, well, why can't you exercise? And, oh, by the way, maybe you already are and you don't even realize it. You know, maybe you think that exercise is going to a gym and walking on a treadmill, but maybe you work as a child caretaker, work for a daycare center taking care of children, and you're really on your feet all the time. And you don't realize that what other people might call exercise is your job. Maybe you're a security guard, and you have to walk around a building, you know, every hour. You know, people might think you're not exercising, but you really are. And so sometimes I think people overlook the fact that indeed they really are getting exercise because it's not in that little box called a sport, recreation, using workout equipment, going to a yoga class. But the other thing is, once you go through a checklist as to why you're unable to, is it pain? Is it mobility issues? Is it safety? Is it weather? Too hot? Too cold? Is it that you can't leave somebody alone, like a child in the house, to exercise, or an older person, so you really have no opportunity to do it because of your responsibilities? You know, is it a situation like we have, you know, just a week and a half ago, with the hurricane in the West Coast of Florida? People obviously sitting in a shelter are not going to be able to exercise, and there are many situations which prevent people from doing it. And, you know, are you a trucker? You know, you're 18 hours in your 18-wheeler or something, you know, and you're unable to exercise. And so I think what really has to be done before you sort of tell people in a stern voice how important it is to move, to figure out why you're not doing so, and what can I do as your advice giver help you to actually get some more movement into your life.
And what's really interesting is I was thinking through the list of, if I were in a shelter with my dogs, I'd have to walk them. If I wasn't in a shelter with my dogs, I would be striding around driving people crazy. because that's just what I do. I think the most embarrassing moment for someone. Hello. I think the most embarrassing moment for someone who was traveling with me was when I decided that I hadn't done my sit-ups that morning. And since I had half an hour to spare, at least before there was even going to be a flight, and there was plenty of room, I thought I would just do them. But I'm an exerciser. There are people who are not.
That's right. But the thing is, Jill, for people like you, you know, it's very easy to get you to even do more if you had to. But for people who, they just haven't, ever since perhaps they left elementary school, run around and done anything physical. But my point is, maybe they really are doing more than they think they are. For example, if they looked on their, you know, smartwatch or some kind of a device that was measuring the number of steps they took, maybe they're not taking 10,000 steps a day, but maybe they're taking 1,000 steps a day. And if you could show them that they actually are moving, they actually are using their arms to lift groceries or a child, they would feel, well, gee, maybe I really can do it.
And
one of our first positive, not the fact that you haven't been doing it at all.
Quite right. And one of the first shows we did that was really interesting, and that we should trot out just because it was you and you are saying it again, but differently, is park your car two spaces away, further away from the grocery store. If you take out the garbage, if you're even wrestling the garbage, if you're changing the cat litter, you know, it's
exactly.
More. There are people do more exercise
right.
than they think they do.
That's right. And so that's my point. If you can say to somebody, oh, you say you never exercise, well, look, you obviously do, and you're doing it every day, and it's not hurting you, or maybe it's a little bit of pain bending down or something, but you are doing it effectively because you're doing all these tasks that weight you every single day, then people might have a positive attitude. Yeah, I guess I do exercise, and maybe I could do a tiny bit more. I mean, and I think that's the approach, rather than haranguing people and saying, oh, well, you're not getting your 10,000 steps, and today you're going to die.
Oh, yeah, that 10,000 steps, you know, that whole addiction with the Fitbit just creates a loop where essentially you're not outside looking at the trees or anything. You're just, that thing is just impulsing, you know, pulsing on your body and messing up your biorhythms anyway, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And so I think, but I have not seen anybody take this commonsensical approach. And it's interesting because if you look on any kind of media for advertisements for weight loss programs, there are a whole variety of approaches, most of which are trying to emphasize behavioral changes, which makes sense. So why don't we have something that's analogous to that, that's inexpensive, people can grab a hold of, where people, with the behavioral changes, tiny ones that might increase people's exercise are available to them. I mean, you don't have to have a physical therapist or go to a gym or you know, a community center yoga class. There should be some easily accessible information that will just take the little exercise you're doing and amplify it by 50, 500 steps, 25 steps, just something to make people feel that really they are doing something, and then, you know, that positive effect is going to breed more positive responses.
Absolutely right about that. Single step, journey, 1,000 miles, single step. Take the garbage out twice a week instead. Right?
Exactly. Look, if you could take one step on the moon, you could take 3 steps on Earth, right?
Seems that way. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Judy Whitman, Food for Mood.
And you're going to hear, of course, Judy every Thursday morning here on Robin Hood Radio. Also on demand, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Food for Mood with Judy Whitman.